From KQED News, I'm Stephanie Martin. Americans in Japan today were urged to evacuate the 50-mile radius surrounding the crippled nuclear plant, and the U.S. offered chartered flights out of the country for those who want to leave. But here at home, everyone from President Obama to the California Department of Public Health is trying to quell fears that the radiation poses a threat to people on this side of the Pacific. Here's what State Public Health Department Interim Director Dr. Howard Backer had to say at a press conference earlier this afternoon.
We understand people's concerns. Radiation is scary stuff. It can have devastating effects in high doses. But we also need to remember that radiation is a part of our natural environment and has very beneficial effects that we regularly use for medical diagnosis and treatment.
Dr. Backer went on to say that if radiation from the plant does reach California shores, it's estimated to be in such small amounts as to be equivalent to the background effects of normal sources of radiation in our everyday environment. Still, despite such reassurances, we continue to get questions from our listeners through email and phone calls about whether radiation from the plant will arrive here, how it will be monitored, and what levels are safe. So we've turned to a couple of California experts for some additional clarification. First, we have UC Irvine Earth System Science Professor Dr. Charles Zender. He's a longtime expert in tracking cross-Pacific pollution plumes. First, Dr. Zender, is there a plume carrying radiation from Japan to California?
Yes, the emissions from the reactor in Japan are on their way across the Pacific in the prevailing winds. And depending on the time of day that you live on the West Coast, can be expected to impact the West Coast about 5 days after emission.
So when approximately would that be?
We are expecting the first reaches of the plume tomorrow, about Friday.
Will sensors be able to detect the radiation?
There are multiple types of sensors, some which count the total dosage or exposure that's biologically relevant. That's what we care about for health effects. Those detectors may not detect the radiation present. There are more sophisticated instruments which can identify particular chemical species or isotopes of radiation. These detectors can measure and attribute the radiation to the nuclear power plants in much smaller quantities than are dangerous for human health.
Let's talk about how exactly that radiation is going to travel and in what form is it going to be in when it arrives here.
The source of the radiation appears to be the rods in the containment vessel, which are on fire, and the emissions from this fire can be both gaseous and particulate at the source. Small particles called aerosols, which are as light as air, can travel the thousands of miles downwind they would need to reach the United States. Most of this contamination, most of the radioactive substances, is likely to either rain out or be dispersed into a very, very thin plume with negligible consequences on human health at the current levels of emission.
So I was talking to you earlier, and you were likening it to pouring dye in a river.
That's right. Since this is the atmosphere which will carry the pollutants, behaves in many respects like a river. And since this is St. Patrick's Day, I thought of the mind experiment, visualizing pouring some green dye into, say, the Colorado River near its source in Colorado. Now, much of this dye will be trapped in small eddies and along the banks of the river as it flows towards the Gulf of Mexico. But some amount, however negligible, will also reach the Gulf of Mexico. So anything poured upstream, in this case, the radioactive substances from the Fukushima reactors, will reach and will carry across the Pacific Ocean, but will be diluted to such small levels, to such small concentrations, that it would pose a threat to human health only if the equivalent river color would be green when it reached the Gulf of Mexico. So you can see how the dilution of the plume as it's traveling across the ocean reduces the concentrations of radioactive substances by a factor on the order of 1,000.
And if that, if I'm sorry, and does that even apply to the worst case scenario? If there's a complete meltdown at the plant, for example, does that still hold true? Is it still going to be too diluted to do any harm?
Well, when you change the emission level, you change the exposure level downwind. Essentially, what we receive downwind is proportional to the emissions upstream at the reactor. So if we were, if the worst case scenario occurred and emissions increased by a factor of 1,000, then essentially the exposure downwind here on the West Coast would also increase by a factor of 1,000. And at those levels, then we may be experiencing radiation that could have health side effects.
But as the situation gets worse in Japan and you know, there's more and more concern about a total meltdown.
One, the exposure that, again, the exposure that we receive is proportional to the emissions. Only in a case where the emissions increased on the order of 1,000 or more would the levels reaching the west coast of the United States begin to approach background levels of radiation exposure from the natural environment.
Dr. Charles Zender, thank you.
You're very welcome.